Good morning and welcome, welcome, welcome. It's time now for Community Connection right here on K1, the one you trust. And we've got City Matters going on today because it's the city and it matters. And right now, Terry Lawrenson, you're first up. How you doing today?
Good, good. Good morning, Tom. It's good to be here. We have some of our esteemed staff with Lisa Beeman and Micah Seamer. So we're going to talk about some city issues today. But before we do that, we wanted to talk about some press releases that are out. So these are all within the city newsletter. So if you subscribe to the city newsletter, then you'll have this information as it's posted. But the Lee Lake Skate Park is now officially open. So this is one of the bond issue projects from the 2018 general obligation bond. Construction was just over $400,000, and that project is now officially open. And so it's been kind of a much anticipated project, and as far as I understand, it's been well used thus far, even through the first weekend of its opening. So that project and that park, which is located just south of the Daniel Soccer Fields, west of the Cooper Dog Park, that is open. So if you are a skater or so inclined to take a look at that, then that facility is open and ready for use. Another.
Yay.
Stay off the grass. Grass is still new. Yeah. We do have, as many people know, that we have a lot of public in positions that will be open for election. So one of these items is the city council seats. So all five seats are open and will be reelected this year. So the filing period for those council seats is August 3rd through 5th. And the filing period will open at 8 a.m. on August 3rd at the Washington County Election Board, and that's located on the first floor of Washington County Courthouse downtown, and closes at 5 p.m. on August the 5th. So a couple of qualifications that are necessary is you have to be a resident of the ward for at least 6 months prior to filing, appointment through the city manager's office, and also hold no other public office that would constitute a conflict of interest according to Oklahoma state statutes. So the election is going to be on November 3rd for those council seats. And if you're inclined to inquire about registering to file for an open position, you can inquire with the city manager's office there with Elaine Baines at 918-338-4282. And there's information, I believe, online as far as what those duties would constitute. Another item that we have as far as a press release is that we've done this in years past, but Mayor Copeland has announced that the city is joining the 2020 Water Conservation Challenge. So this is an ongoing effort to minimize the long-term effect to our impact to water resources, just to conserve water and be diligent with this limited resource. So it's a challenge. It's a national program, and residents can win up to $3,000 toward their utility payments by installing water-saving fixtures and hundreds of other prizes. So it is an annual challenge, and you can sign up online at mywaterpledge.com to be an efficient user of water. So if you have questions or inquiries about that, that's available online as well. If you go to the city's website at cityofbartlesville.org, you can find out more information in regards to the water challenge. And the last announcement that I have is we do have an upcoming city election. So July 31st is the last day for local voters to register to vote in the August 25th City of Bartlesville special election. So we are looking for a vote on the renewal of two revenue streams for a general obligation bond as well as a half-cent sales tax. So if you want to register or you want to vote in that election on August 25th, July 31st, which is just a few days away, is the last day that you can register to vote in that election. So we encourage everybody to exercise their constitutional ability there. So if you're not registered to vote, July 31st is the last day to do so. And that kind of segues into our program this afternoon, or this morning, excuse me, Tom, but we're going to talk about the vote that's upcoming on August 25th. So this is for a renewal of a general obligation bond and a sales tax initiative. Both of these have been long-going initiatives that the city has used for capital funding. General obligation bonds are property taxes, and so these are used typically for large financial or capital projects. And it does require a vote on each individual category. So for this particular election in the general obligation bonds, there will be four categories. So we're going to have public safety, municipal buildings, streets, and parks. So this has really been used for capital improvements for the last 20, almost 25 years, and renewed several times by voters during that term. And we've spent overall over $70 million in infrastructure upgrades by the voters' approval of the general obligation bonds. And so we have this morning both Lisa and Micah to talk a little bit more about that, but I'm going to kind of jump in on the first two categories or first two propositions within that obligation bond initiative, and that's going to be the public safety and the municipal building. So public safety is really police and fire. And the initiative for the general obligation bonds is going to be for $4 million. And there's really two main projects within that proposition. The first one for the police department is to upgrade the emergency radio system for just over $2 million. So this is upgrading all the backbone and infrastructure for the antennas, towers, and as well as the radios inside the cars and what they call the base station there where it all kind of routes through. And so that facilitates all the emergency communication for the county and particularly the police department to help coordinate their activities and really do their day-to-day work through there. So a very critical piece of infrastructure for the city. A lot of components within that system are over 20 years old, so they really reached the end of life and necessary to upgrade to continue the level of service that we've really come to expect from the police department. And the next thing that we have within that proposition is to replace a 95-foot ladder truck. Again, this is a replacement of a truck that's over 35, almost 40 years old. It's for $1.2 million. And again, it's going to be something that the fire department utilizes on a routine basis and a replacement of a component there that's within their fleet. So if those projects come in as anticipated, council historically has budgeted all the money that's anticipated from the initiative for the projects, and so if the radio system and the ladder truck come in as anticipated, then they're going to use the balance of the funds to improve the generator for the operations service room, as well as to integrate or to purchase a GPS camera parking enforcement system primarily used downtown. And then on the fire side, we're looking at building repairs for various roofs and insulation at the various stations throughout town, as well as to replace the firehouse software that's used daily on the fire department, management of their shifts and different components that they utilize in their daily work. So then on the second proposition, which is municipal buildings and equipment, we have just under $1.4 million for that initiative. There's three main projects that's included within that proposition, and that's to replace the city hall windows and boilers downtown. That's just over $400,000. We have an equipment shed that would be built at the operations center for just under $200,000. And then at the libraries to replace the chiller, skylight, and roof repair for that facility. So with all these projects, Tom, a lot of these are kind of a refresh, replenish type of thing. So at least with the with all these categories, it's truly to replace and to keep what we have in place and to refresh that to make it viable and usable in the future. So that's really kind of the overall theme of both the general obligation bond and sales tax is kind of a refresh and renewal of those particular components. But on the municipal buildings, if the if those projects for the windows, boiler, shed, and library come in as anticipated, then they're going to use the balance of the funds to purchase a new paint striper for the street department, mowers and trailers for the park department to kind of facilitate the maintenance and operation of the various parks as well as the public spaces throughout town. So that kind of leads me to our next category, next proposition, which is going to be where we bring in Mr. Seamers here. So that covers proposition number three for streets and bridges, just over $8 million. It's the largest proposition, the largest component of the general obligation bond. And we'll let Micah walk through the projects that are associated with that proposition.
All right. Thanks, Terry. Yeah, just like you said, we've got about $8.2 million worth of streets and bridges. The bridges are kind of, I say, new to us. We've done bridges in the past, but that's not something we typically take on. But we do, the city of Bartlesville, we do have a number of bridges throughout town that we are responsible for. Those are, inspected every 2 years through a basically through the state. The state provides funding through ODOT. They facilitate that, but then we do have to have those inspected. And the last round of these, we found we had some deficiencies. And so we do have really three, actually it's going to be four bridges that we're going to rehabilitate. We've got over the Tuxedo Bridge over the Caney River. We call these bridges number 5 and 6. There's a pair of bridges that cross the river there that parallel each other. We've got $1.2 million and to basically do a full deck replacement on the westbound bridge. The eastbound bridge is in pretty good condition. Most of it's just going to be some preventative maintenance and some work on that. But the westbound bridge, we're seeing some issues with the deck. Lisa, what you got going there? She's showing Terry something over here. It's distracting me. Sorry, guys. All right. But anyway, sorry, I've digressed here. I apologize. I got distracted. But yeah, we do have $1.2 million to rehabilitate those two bridges. The majority of that will go on the westbound bridge that we've seen some deck issues. There's some bearings that have failed on that. And again, the bridge isn't in any danger of falling down or anything like that. Don't want to alarm anybody with that, but we will be doing some work on that bridge to rehabilitate that. The other bridge that we're going to do some work on is the Sunset Bridge over Butler Creek. Residents I know, especially in Oak Park, have probably noticed we have that steel plate over a pothole that went through the deck of the bridge. It's been there for some time. We're working on getting some contractors online to do a temporary patch on that. Again, I'm not sure how much of it's related to COVID, how much related to just being busy, but we're having a hard time getting a contractor on board with that. But we are working on that right now. But we do have a project actually planned in this election to completely rehabilitate that bridge as well. So it'll be a full deck replacement on that. So we've got $1 million planned for that project. And then we also have the other bridge that we're going to work on is there along Tuxedo as well. It's actually east of the two that we discussed just a minute ago. It's a bridge over the overflow there at the Caney River. And really, again, just some preventative maintenance work on that. We'll do some sandblasting and painting of the steel structures underneath, encapsulate some of the piers in concrete. There's some corrosion issues there at the water line. So, again, we got $300,000 for that, $325,000 for that project planned. Then really the rest of this is just a series of street projects. We always try to do a portion of street projects each year. To try to keep up with the condition of our streets and actually improve on those conditions a little bit. So we've got Yale. It's going to be an asphalt rebuild. So currently Yale between Adams and Frank Phillips is a concrete street. So we looked at doing some concrete panel replacements, but really just almost the majority of that street had to be rebuilt. And so it's cheaper to go back with asphalt instead of concrete. So we decided to basically replace that. The curb and gutter will remain in place. But everything else will be torn out, and we'll go back in with a new asphalt street there from Adams to Frank Phillips on Yale. We've got $850,000 planned for that. Work on Crestland. This is over by what used to be the Mid-High. It's now Madison Middle School. Get a lot of bus traffic in there, another concrete street. We've got $760,000 to do some panel replacements on Crestland, and then also include Baylor Place, which ties into that as well. So this is essentially from Baylor Place to Adams. We'll be doing that concrete panel replacement. Again, $760,000 for that project. Again, I'm kind of going just like Terry had done before. We call them the 70% projects or priority projects. We are required by law to identify at least 70% of the projects that we plan to spend these funds on. The remaining projects would be discretionary or 30% projects. Again, Terry said we do plan that out. The ones I'm going through right now are going to be those priority projects. So, again, we had three bridges. We have Yale, we have Crestland, we've got Wilshire and Waverly. This is another concrete panel rehab for $550,000. This is basically between Frank Phillips and State. So we originally maybe planned to do in Frank Phillips all the way up to Tuxedo, but the north half of those streets are really in pretty good condition. So we decided to couple those into one project between the two streets and do the south half of those, essentially to State Street. And then we've got a milling overlay on Delaware from 5th to Hillcrest. And then we've got Oakdale. We're going to work there on, really in Woodland, we've done a lot of work trying to make that main connection all the way from Highway 75 through to No Water Road. Oakdale's that main drag through there. And so we've done a lot of work on that. We just actually did the Woodland project that we just completed probably a month or so ago, a month and a half ago, something like that. And so really this is that last leg of that connection. So we're going to do Oakdale concrete panel rehab from Brookside Parkway to Woodland. We got $275,000 for that. And then the last priority project on the streets and bridges is Braddock over in Colonial Estates. It's going to be a mill and overlay from Claremont to Camelot. And then as Terry discussed as well, you know, assuming that all these projects come in where they think they will and that we can, the funds come in as planned, then we do have some discretionary projects. And if funds allow, we'll tackle these as well. So we've got Highland. It's a mill and overlay project and concrete panel both. It's kind of a multifaceted project there in Oak Park for $575,000. About half of it is concrete and half of it's asphalt. And so we'll tackle that project for $575,000. We've got a mill and overlay on Dewey plan from Adams to 16th Street for $375,000. And then we've lumped about five different streets into one project in the inner urban area, we call it. It's north of Tuxedo, west of Highway 75. We've got Indiana, Morningside, Roselawn, and Catherine. Basically, we're calling it from inner urban to Indiana, but we're going to include a portion of inner urban as well. $370,000 of that. It's going to be an asphalt project. Some will be overlay, some will be mill and overlay. But another good project there. Southport, again, they're on the south end of town. We've got a mill and overlay on that project as well for $265,000. We're talking about doing some work on Madison from Tuxedo to the water tower, essentially just north of Park Hill. It'll be originally planned on maybe looking into floor reconstruction. We've whittled that down somewhat to just doing an overlay on that project. And then we got Quail Ridge, asphalt mill and overlay. This is from Adams to Baylor. This is over there on the east side of town, just west of Bison Road. $250,000 for that one. Another project down there in Colonial Estates for Cambridge. We'll do a mill and overlay on that from Rice Creek to Williamsburg. So that pretty well rounds out all the street projects. Again, we've got $8.2 million in street projects. We typically try to do around $2 million a year out of the bond funds for doing street rehabilitations. Again, as Terry had mentioned, these are larger projects, more either rebuilds or just large enough projects. We don't tackle them with preventative maintenance street funds. But then the sales tax funds that will also be up for election as well. We typically try to do, you know, around $1 million worth of projects every year with those funds as well. And this essentially keeps our streets at least in the condition they are in now, if not trying to improve the quality of our streets, trying to chip away at that. So that's where we've got on streets. And with that, then I'll hand it over to the
let me chime in and
in.
Yeah, okay. Pepper a couple questions. So you know, sometimes we get questions on how do you guys pick the projects that are picked. I mean, obviously these do all go eventually through council.
Sure.
But we have probably a fairly diverse network of citizen committees that help and
right.
guide council on projects that they recommend. So kind of walk us through the selection process.
Okay.
And how that kind of takes shape.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a good point. So yeah, we do. We've got the street and traffic committee. And typically what we do, we do have a pavement analysis software, pavement condition analysis software that essentially, I guess we've gone through it now, is it two times or three times that we've had this group they run through. They've got van mounted equipment that they drive all the streets, and it basically assesses the condition of the streets based on roughness, on the amount of cracks, things of that nature. And essentially put it into this model, and there is some deterioration factors that are applied to it based off the type of material, the type of pavement, and the life of it, the age of it, things of that nature. And so essentially we update that every year, and it applies these deterioration factors to the pavement, and it places a pavement index, if you will, condition index, a PCI we call it. And basically the higher the number, the better the pavement is. The lower the number, the worse the worse condition it is. So we basically, based on the type of funds we're using, if it's for bond funds, we typically look at streets that are in worse condition to try to address. For the sales tax funds, preventative maintenance projects, we typically look at streets that really are, they're kind of right on that borderline. They're not in terrible condition yet, but we want to put some funds towards them to keep them from getting worse, because the worse condition they are, the more money it costs to fix them. So we try to tackle it that way. And so when we get these projects put together based off of this model, and then we put that before the street and traffic committee, list a selection of streets, and they make the final selection and then present that to council, and council makes the final call. So I think in this last round, even, it actually really did come up that I think when we had presented it to council, they actually had some ideas as well. Some items they'd like to address, and so we try to incorporate that back into it. But that's typically how we handle that. We do look at it through. We get complaints from citizens as well. We take that into account. We try to address those areas. We work with the street department on, they get complaints as well that maybe engineering doesn't see. And so we try to coordinate through those two groups. And we try to take complaints into account whenever we plan for those projects, and we look at those based on their pavement condition index, and then we couple those together and present that to street and traffic, and then make the recommendation to council.
Well, good. Yeah, so it really does involve a lot of steps, a lot of interaction with the citizen groups and input from various departments, as well as citizens who may have a vested interest in getting a street redone or hopefully improved. So there's a fairly collaborative process to delineate and to derive these projects that ultimately go to the voters to decide if they want to pursue. And so kind of the last proposition on the general obligation bonds is the parks and recreation side. And we've had a lot of park improvements here recently. You know, we announced that the skate park is open there at MJ Lee Lake. The Tower Center project downtown has recently been officially open. So a lot of momentum, a lot of neat things that have occurred on the park and recreation side. And Lisa Beeman here, who's our community development director and park planner extraordinaire, we'll kind of walk through the park and rec question and the projects that are associated with it.
Thank you. So the fourth proposition on the GO bond, and so you'll have four things you vote on, each of the items that the guys talked about, but the fourth proposition is going to be on parks and recreation. And as Terry said, we in the last bond election, we did a lot of either improvements or new facilities, like the improving the skate park that we had, and we built a whole new one, and then the Tower Center, which is a new facility, and upgrades to playground equipment and things like that. So on this bond election, we're looking really more at trying to do some maintenance issues. Primarily among those is to improve the parking lots and the access roads. So if you've been down by Kitty Park, you saw the really nice improvement we made for the roadway there, the parking lot there. So we want to continue those type of improvements with this bond election. So we will be redoing in Johnstone Park. We'll continue that improvement. We'll go around the ring road. That'll be an asphalt, redoing the asphalt on the ring road, and also putting in some parking spaces along that ring road. And then as well as improving the parking lots, the other parking lots in Johnstone Park. That's $280,000, a little over. We'll do the same thing with Sooner Park, the ring road there, and the parking lots in Sooner Park, which include like the ones at the swimming pool, the main parking lot when you come in. Those are a little over $450,000. We'll also improve the Joe Allen Lowe parking lots. There are two. There's one that's actually in the park itself. And then there's another one that's kind of on the top of the hill that has been a gravel parking lot for a long time. We'll pave that road, parking lots, and that's $87,000. And then also Lion Park, which is a small neighborhood park in the downtown area. We'll improve the access drive and parking in that parking lot in that park as well. That's a little over $12,000. There are some additional parks that will also have improvements the parking lots, but I think those are also in the CIP election. Yeah, so there's some more in that. So that's really important. Also, Sooner Park, we would like to remodel the restrooms there. We have just finished remodeling the restroom at Johnstone Park and Robinwood Park, so we need to do remodel of the restrooms in Sooner Park. That's a little over $81,000. We would like to add some lighting to the Robinwood Park soccer fields. So the largest soccer fields, the ones that are used mostly in more toward the evening hours, which are for young adults, we're looking at adding lighting to those. That's a little over $350,000. Those would be the lights that are just on the field. Those would be the fields on the soccer. Those would be putting lights on the soccer fields just north of Frank Phillips Boulevard. We also would like to, in the former, at Sooner Park again, the former horseshoe pit, we would like to turn those into basketball courts. We don't have really any basketball courts in any of our parks on the east side of town, so we would like to add a couple basketball courts there. And we'll also build a Gaga ball pit, which is kind of a new recreational thing for younger kids. Douglas Park on the west side of town really needs a shelter. It's one of our few parks that does not have a shelter, so we would be adding a shelter to Douglas Park. at about 81,000. And then one other, bigger project that we have in the Parks and Recreation is we would like to enclose two of the tennis courts in Johnstone Park. Right now we don't have any enclosed tennis courts, but by enclosing two of the four, we would allow those courts to be used not only for tennis, but also for pickleball. We would like to continue the bicycle route signage and pavement markings that we started around town. You've seen where we've done some sharrows on the road, Frank Phillips going east of downtown, west of downtown. We want to continue doing those things in accordance with a bicycle safety plan that was approved by the Park Board, the Transportation Committee, and the City Council last year. So we would like to continue that, and that's around $40,000. So those are the 70% projects that total $1.9 million. The proposition is asking for $2.7 million. So the other 30% projects, which if we're able to build these projects I've just mentioned, the priority projects, the other two projects that we have, a large one is Adams Golf Course, and that is rebuilding the greens for 9 through 18, and that's $714,000. So that's a large part of the secondary projects. And then also at Civitan Park, we would like to add a berm and some fencing along there where the park backs up to Silver Lake Road, and that's $51,000. So all of these are very worthy projects. Again, it tries to keep parks and recreation forefront as we try to continue to make capital improvements, but this is primarily just to try to continue to maintain what we have and upgrade where we can.
Yeah, and so kind of similar to street, these projects really did come through the park board, were prioritized through the park board. So again, a citizen committee that was involved, intimately involved with the prioritization and the selection of these projects that ultimately went to council for their adoption or basically concurrence to put this on the election. So again, a very diverse group, and you know, some projects involved multiple committees. So like the bicycle route, the transportation committee, street and traffic, and as well
as
park
board committee.
Yep, Adam Golf Course, so the golf course committee. So a lot of these projects have their genesis in many groups and citizen organizations to kind of make its way to a various ballot or election to move forward with.
Let me just touch base on that just a second, because on the tennis courts and the potential for pickleball, that involved both the Tennis Association of Bartlesville and the growing Bartlesville Pickleball Association. On the soccer fields, that involved the Washington County Soccer Association. And so we do work with a lot of user groups that use our facilities as well.
Good. So kind of in summary, Tom, with the general obligation bonds, the election is August 25th.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of these categories that we talked about will be its own proposition on the ballot. So there'll be four questions associated with the renewal of the general obligation bond. So in total, it's just over $16 million that is being requested from the voters to vote on those four categories. So the public safety, municipal buildings, streets, and parks will be the four propositions that are before the voters to vote on. Again, it's a renewal of an existing revenue stream or existing tax. It's not going to increase taxes. And so voters have been very supportive of these initiatives in the past. And so we encourage everybody to vote, and August 25th, they'll have the opportunity to decide if they wish the city to move forward on these improvements. And we do have all the information online at the city's website, cityofbartlesville.org, so you can find out more specific information on the projects by going to the website, subscribing to the City Beat, which will have these projects. And then here in the next week or so, there's going to be some videos put on online about the project, so you can see some visuals that are associated with the components with the project, and hopefully maybe even hear Lisa's voice in the background to talk all about them.
Very good. I want to thank you all for being here today for City Matters.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3.